Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to start a little bit early since we have full committee here. Good morning and welcome. First order of business, I'll ask for the committee's approval of the agenda. Is there any objections to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is approved as presented. So now we'll go on to the minutes from the last meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. The minutes are approved. Now that we have the agenda approved, I'd like to take the opportunity to give a brief overview of today's agenda. At this subcommittee's first meeting in March, AON Metro's plan administrator provided an overview of the authority's pension plan. It included the actuarially concepts behind the plan highlights and key factors impacting contributions. In July, AON reviewed Metro's other post-employment benefits, or OPEBs, and that consist of non-pension costs for retiree medical coverage, prescription drug coverage, and life insurance. So today we'll be discussing the actuarial report for each of the five Metro pension plans, as well as reviewing the plan's funding strategies and performance. So I'd like to turn the floor over to Dennis Anasike, our Chief Financial Officer, who will introduce our guest from AON. Dennis?
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I will turn the mic over to Mr. Aladina from AON, who has appeared before this committee in the past and did most of the work around today's subject matter.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to share a little bit of time with the committee here today. And so you have the presentation in front of you, and I wanted to walk through it. So if we just stop here for a moment on the agenda slide, you'll notice that we've taken a slightly different approach to this one, because the last time when we were here talking about pensions, we had a set of valuations, we talked a little bit about the concepts, and we did that. Since then, a new set of valuations have been prepared by the actuaries. So our objective this time is to review the change in the plan status from last time to the new valuation. So we're going to do that. We're going to do it in two steps. We have general commentary at the front end, and then we actually have the actual results that the actuaries have prepared. Then we do have a couple of different slides for some conversations around what the obligations for WMATA would be if we standardized the biggest assumption, which is the interest rate, and we've talked about that before. And then the last is a funding projection for one of the plans. Okay. I understand that we have a total of maybe about 45 minutes in total. My objective was to try to get through the material in about 20 minutes and then leave about 25 minutes for questions and answers. Okay. You feel free to stop me to ask questions during the presentation. If you get to a point where you want to ask something, that's perfectly fine. But I just want to lay out sort of the strategy that I was going to take. Is that okay? Excellent. All right. So then if we go, next slide, please. If we pause here for a moment, you've seen this slide a couple of times already, but I think it's good for us to pause here for a moment to make sure we're all on the same page. You know, there are two components to this slide. In the red is the cost of the plan. Because you offer benefits, WMATA has an obligation or a cost. The total cost of the plan is basically equal to the benefits that you have committed to pay to participants. And there is an administrative cost because you have to administer these plans. There's got to be someone who calculates the benefits, someone who does the normal evaluations, there's legal costs, and all those costs. So those are known as administrative costs. So the two red items at the bottom are costs. So how do you fund those costs, really? There are three sources, and this is on the top between the blue and the green. There are three sources of funding. The first is monies that WMATA will put in towards those benefits. Okay, that's known as the employer contributions. The second is that the participants in the plans themselves are required to put some money in towards the cost of the program. So that's known as employee contributions. And the third, because this is a plan or are plans for which you actually put money in on an annual basis, it's actually put into a pension trust. That pension trust is invested in different asset categories. You have investment returns. Okay, so that's that big bucket on the right-hand side. And just to keep, just to give you sort of a relative value, most pension trust assets, if you look at them today, about two-thirds of the value, or sorry, 60% of the value of that pension trust is probably due to investment performance. Okay, so that's the bigger chunk because it's over a long period of time. So keep that in mind that that has an incredible impact. Okay, so I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. If we keep going now, we'll skip this slide. This just talks about the input. So let's talk about now the highlights. Okay. So what we've done over the next two pages is that we took a look at the valuation results, as I said, from the last valuation to the current valuation, and we've added in some commentary here before we look at the actual numbers themselves. Okay. And we've looked at four areas over the next two slides. The first is the plan status and demographics. The second is the financial status of the plan. The third are the key assumptions. And the fourth is investment return. Okay. And so I will go through each of the sections. The first one on the plan status. So let me kind of define what I mean by that. Okay. When you look at a pension plan generally has four stages. The first stage is what is known as an open pension plan. What that means is that participants who are in the plan are accruing benefits, and new employees that are hired get to go into the plan and accrue benefits. The second stage of a pension plan is generally is called a closed plan. So what that means that the people that are in the plan continue to accrue benefits, but new employees that are hired are no longer eligible to join the plan. Okay, so you now begin to limit the obligations of that plan. The third stage is what's called a frozen plan. And what that means is not only that new employees are not eligible for the plan, but individuals who are in the pension plan, their benefits are frozen at a particular point in time. So even though they render additional service, they no longer accrue benefits. Okay, so that's a much more mitigation of the liabilities. And the last stage generally is a termination where you pay out all your benefits and you're done with the plan. Okay, so I just want to make sure we understand the four stages. And if you look at the five WMATA plans, you will see that three of them are in what is called an open state. Employees can, new employees are eligible. And two, the non-rep and the local two, are closed plans. Okay, so anybody who was hired after 1/1/99 is no longer eligible to join those plans. Okay, so from so when you look at the demographics of the plan, then by demographics these are the people that are in the plan, right? You should see lower levels of increase in the demographics than you would otherwise see if all the plans were open, because as employees retire and new employees are hired, they're not eligible to join those plans possibly. But just keep in mind that the larger plan, which is Local 689, is still open. Okay, so what happened that we noticed that from last valuation to this valuation, you saw roughly 400% increase in the plan. Not big, but it's primarily because of Local 689 and the new employees that were hired within Local 689. Okay, so not a significant change in the demographics, but some increase in that. And the next segment is the financial status. And here we looked at, you know, when we look at the assets and the liabilities, what's first of all the ratio of the assets to the liabilities? How well is your plan funded? Okay? And then the second component that you want to look at in terms of financial status is how much money is WMATA going to have to put into the plan? Okay? And so when we looked at the funded status, the ratio of the assets to the liabilities, we noticed that it improved by about 1% from 76.3%, almost 1.4%, 76.3% to 77.7%, which is great. And that increase was due a little bit to investment performance, but also because you made some changes to the plan. And by changes, I mean that in Local 689, you increased how much the employees were required to put in towards the cost of their benefits. So that means WMATA has to pay a little less as a result of that, okay? And so, but even though you had a 1.4% increase, it's important to keep in mind that when I, if you take your liabilities and you net out the assets that you have in the trust, you had an unfunded liability of $1,047,000,000 last time, and it's gone down by $20 million to $1,027 million. So yes, you improved your funded status, but you're still a fairly large unfunded liability that's there, which at some point in time, you know, WMATA will have to pay either through actual contributions or through investment performance. Okay, it's not an immediate obligation that has to be funded, but it's something to keep in mind that still exists there.
Could I ask a question?
Sure, sure.
How many years of the employee contributions are counted in this particular valuation? Because the change to requiring employees to contribute happened fairly recently.
Yeah.
So how many, yeah. What period of time are we counting in this change? So
you're absolutely right, Ms. Porter. It's a great question. In the actuarial liability or the funded status, not much, probably about a year. Okay.
About a year.
Yeah, but where it makes a difference, if you look at the item, the last bullet there, in the contributions, you notice that the total contribution went from 164 million to 158 million in aggregate. And that is primarily as a reduction because of the contributions, because for every year, you look at how much of that cost will be paid by the employees and how much the employer has to pay. So it has an immediate impact on that calculation. So okay. You see a much bigger drop there. Yeah?
Thank you.
No problem. Okay. All right, so that covers the financial status section. The third section is the assumptions. And really here, we have talked about the mortality table. There are two key assumptions in a pension plan, just like in a retiree medical plan we had talked about before. One is, what's the investment return that you're expecting? When you put money into a trust, what's the investment return? And we'll talk about that in a minute. The other is, how long are people actually going to collect this benefit once they retire? Right? And we had talked about the fact that there's a lot of new studies that the Society of Actuaries had done a private plan study and had come up with new tables which reflect improvements in longevity. And that at last valuation, the WMATA plans had not reflected that. And in fairness, public plans in general have not reflected a lot of that because they're still waiting for the Society of Actuaries to do a study on how mortality and longevity will be in the public sector. Because it could be different than the private sector. The study that was done was in the private sector. What was interesting to me was that the transit police valuation, though, did adopt the new tables that the Society of Actuaries has released for private plans. Okay? So they are actually doing their valuation on the most current information that's available. Local 689, which is the largest plan and represents about 75% of the total liabilities of WMATA, didn't make a change. So they continue to use the older table with limited reflection of longevity. And as we had talked about last time, if and when that change is made, we would expect that the liabilities would jump up. And how much they will jump up will depend, but it's probably a rule of thumb about 5 to 10% could fall somewhere in there, okay? So the funded status could come down as a result of that as well, right? Because your liabilities will go up, but your assets are not gonna change, yeah? Okay. So that's just something to keep in mind and to keep track of. I believe the committees meet to discuss assumptions. Generally, the trustees meet to discuss the assumptions. I would suspect that there will be a study and a discussion made regarding that when the next time that meeting takes place. Okay. If we could go to the next slide, please. Thank you. So this is the next biggest assumption, which is the investment return. Okay, it's working?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So on this one, what this means is that if I am going to tell a participant that I'm going to pay you $1,000 a month, for example, when you're 65, and I'm doing a valuation on January 1, 2016, how much money do I need today? But what is the obligation that I have? And in order to determine that, I have to discount it for interest because I'm going to put money into an asset, into an investment, right? So on the right-hand side, I've shown here what the various different plans are using as an investment return assumption for the valuation. And you see that, it ranges, a couple of plans at 7%, a couple at 7.5%, and then local 689 is at 7.85. One point to note that there's been no change in this assumption from the prior valuation. So these are exactly the same assumptions that were used in the prior valuation. The weighted average there is what I calculated using the liabilities of the plan, and you see it's 7.68% because local 689 is the biggest piece, right? So it's gonna come close to that range. Public studies show that average return for public plans is about 7.6%. Okay, so in the ballpark, slightly higher. Okay, on the left-hand side, we were, the most recent investment performance information was shared with us. So I did take a look at all of that information to determine how are the assets investment. Because if you are going to set a return assumption, it's going to be based on the different asset classes in which you invest and what your outlook is for those asset classes. Okay? So you will see that in aggregate, and this is done in aggregate, each plan is individually invested. I just want to make sure we keep that in mind. But in aggregate, we see that about 70% of the assets are invested in what I will call equities. And this is higher risk, but higher return. And a very small percentage, less than 20%, are in what is called fixed income. Lower risk and probably more matching the duration or the movement in the liabilities of the plan. The 70% in equity investments is not out of line when you look at public sector plans. That's generally, you will see that. And if you look at the return assumptions that are being, and this is predominantly, obviously, the allocations are predominantly driven by Local 689. If you're going to have a return of 785, you're going to have to be in some more riskier investments. Okay? But at the bottom, I also took a look at what is the annualized return for the plans over at least two periods. So over a three-year period, the plan's actual return has been 7.54%, or the trust's actual return. Over a five-year period, it's 7.72. And I didn't put the 10-year return because it was not available in all the plans. Okay? But the 10-year return for the ones that it was available clearly was less than the five-year return because 2008 is in the 10-year period, right? Since inception, it's probably over the 7.5% when you're looking at it, since the plan's inception. One more point of reference, two more things to keep in mind on this slide. I also took the asset allocation and I plugged it into our investment model. We have an investment group that has a capital asset pricing model, so we were able to plug in these asset classes to see what would we expect as a rate of return in the future. And if I look at a 30-year period and I look at a median return, it's somewhere around 6.6 to about 7% in that model, okay? Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that when you look at interest rates, there's no one specific answer, okay? Keep in mind that there's a range that one has. So even with the asset classes, you put it in, the range is sort of what you expect over, let's say, a 30-year period and what percentile. So generally, you know, when you're setting an interest rate, you will look at what the 30-year return is over, let's say, between the 35th to the 65th percentile. And so long as your rate falls somewhere in that range, it's reasonable, okay? I will tell you that 7.85 is beyond our 35th to 65th range, but maybe there is, you know, the way the investments are done, that it justifies that. But it might be something that I believe needs to continue to be monitored over the future because it will have an impact on your obligations. Okay? All right, sorry. So then let's take a look at the actual financial results, okay? So I just wanted to show you what we did is a side-by-side for every plan. The dark gray is the current year valuation, and the light gray is the prior year valuation. There are three sections and for each. One is the demographic data. The second section is the funded status, assets and liabilities. And the third section is what are the required contributions, okay? And what I'm going to do is instead of going plan by plan, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go to the next slide, which is in aggregate. But I just wanted to point out that the valuation dates, which are the first thing that is shown, are not the same for every plan, okay? So there are three plans where the valuation date is January 1, and there are two plans for which the valuation date is July 1, okay? So, for example, Local 6 and the non-represented in Local 639 uses a July 1 date, okay? So their new valuation is currently being done as of July 1, 2016, but the contributions that you are making are keying off of that July 1, 2015 valuation. Anything down on that? Okay. Okay. All right. So then let's take a look at the aggregate, okay? Last two columns. From a demographic perspective, as I said, slight increase. Headcount includes active employees, pensioners collecting benefits, and those who have left WMATA and will come back in the future to collect a benefit. In terms of the liabilities, you had a $4.4 billion liability last time. It's $4.6 billion. So it's gone up by about $180 million. And if I look at the assets, you went from about $3.4 billion to $3.6 billion, about $200 million, okay? And that's why you see the difference of the $20 million, which we talked about, okay? So still a billion-dollar underfunded liability, but at least the takeaway is that it didn't deteriorate, you've kind of been able to maintain it, okay? In terms of the contributions, there's a, you know, slight, you know, a slight decrease, and as I mentioned, that decrease is because of the fact that you increased contributions in Local 689 primarily, okay? Also at the bottom, we've shown it, your contributions as a percent of payroll. The 18.1% in aggregate, if I look at public plan surveys, around that range, okay? Between 16 to 20%, so not out of line for at least large enough plans. Okay? We're good? All right. In terms of the assumptions, we've talked about all of the assumptions, except there's one thing we wanted to point out. COLA means cost of living increase. When under your plans, when a participant retires, during their retirement years, they get an increase in their benefit reflective of increases in inflation. I just wanted to highlight that these assumptions that are stated here are what are used in the valuation. The actual increase that a participant gets is either in the plan or contractually negotiated, okay? So it could be different, all right? So I just want to make sure that we point that out. Okay, and the last one sort of lists the different mortality tables, and I already said that the transit police, they are now using the most up-to-date mortality table that there is. All right, let's take a look at a couple of slides before we get to questions. So on this slide, again, this is a slide where I just did an estimate to say, look, if the outlook for the future is roughly around 7%, as an investment return, what would the obligations and the funded status look like if we valued everything at 7%? I didn't change any of the assumptions, just the interest rate, and I didn't actually run a valuation. I just sort of used an actuarial techniques to estimate, okay? So I just want to keep that in mind that, you know, the actuaries make good run it and come up with different results. So basically what happens under this situation is that the liability, which was 4.6 billion, goes up to almost 5 billion. Okay, so it jumps up almost $400 million or an 8% jump. And in terms of your funded status, then obviously because you didn't change your assets, it's going to come down. So you're going to be closer to 70%. Okay, I'm still probably not out of line in terms of funded ratios when compared to public plans. That's probably, you're probably kind of in large size plans, probably somewhere in there in that range. Okay, and but your contributions will go up by almost over $40 million under this assumption. Okay. And again, so this is here simply for illustrative purposes. Wanted you to be aware that if we kind of normalize the interest rate, what would the plans look like? It's not intended to say that we are recommending that you go to a 7% interest rate, so I don't want you to take it that way. As I said, there is a range. I think it's important to speak with the different trustees of the different plans and to see how they're setting their rates. But if it was at around 7%, which is what kind of the expectation is, this is what it would look like. Yes.
Would you consider this to be more a worst case scenario here, or is this average or what?
So I can't say it's worst case because the rates could go lower, right? But I think if you ask for outlooks right now in terms of what return expectations are, around 7% long term is kind of where it is.
So this is fairly realistic based on the predictions, the longer term predictions, is that correct?
Yeah, I think it is what we're seeing, yeah?
Okay, thanks.
Dennis, you want to add?
No, I just wanted to point out that as Al mentioned a little bit earlier, once the mortality, if you add the mortality assumptions to this, it will change even further. Because, again, all the biggest plan in this case has not adopted that new mortality.
Well, while we're on this slide, let me ask another question. These benefits that we're talking about, these are medical coverage, prescription drug coverage.
And these are just pensions, sir.
These are just pensions.
Okay. So there's a whole separate plan covering medical benefits.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
No problem. We're good? All right. Last slide. So what we in the Local 689 valuation report, the actuary had done a projection of what the funded level would look like. So I thought it would be good for us just to take a quick look at what was being projected. And so let me define a few terms here before I explain what we're seeing. The present value of all future benefits, what that means is that if I'm employed at WMATA today and in the Local 689 plan, okay, and you assume I stay with you to retirement, then there's a certain benefit you have agreed to pay me, okay? And so that's what the present, and the liability today for that projected benefit is what is known as the present value of future benefits. So unless you modify the plan that's a commitment that is going to be realized, right? If you modify the plan, it'll change it, but let's assume you don't. The market value of assets are just what is sitting in a trust fund today, covering that obligation. Okay, and if we look at that from that point of view, and then on the green line, which uses the right axis, is what are the required contributions that you have to put into the plan. And so you see that as of January 1, 2016, the funded status is 64%. In other words, your trust today has enough assets to cover about 64% of that present value. Okay, but over a 10-year period, by 2026, that funded status goes from 64 to 76%. So it does get better, okay? It gets better for two reasons. One, because you are putting contributions into the plan, and that green line in 2016 is about 117 million, and it plateaus at about 137 million a year, okay? So you are putting quite a bit of money into the plan. The other reason why the funded status looks this way is because you're expecting to earn 7.85% on your assets. If you don't realize that, then of course the funded status will come down, okay? So I wanted to show that, you know, so you will see some, the impact of that return is one thing that we see through this chart. And if it's realized, we see that because WMATA is an ongoing entity, that there is some things in place that potentially could reduce how much money you'll have to put in to cover the costs of those benefits, okay? And again, this is just for Local 689, it's the largest plan. We could take a look at other plans this way too, but I just thought it would be interesting to just take a look at where how this is progressing over a period of a 10-year period, at least the expectation. Okay? So that's all I had in terms of formal charts to cover. So if there are questions, we're happy to entertain those.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I have a basic question. What variables do we have in this calculation? Now, you've talked about a few. You've talked about the return on investment. We have COLAs built in also. What's the variability that can drive this one direction or the other?
So your highest risk right now is what will happen with the mortality table, okay? That variability is there in your plan. And if the public plan mortality is released that is equal to what the private sector studies are showing, you can expect, and that's reflected, you can see an increase in your liabilities of anywhere, as I said, from 5 to 10%. So that's the first variability. The second variability really is the interest rate that's being used, right? As I said, and we've talked about that it's the 7.68 on aggregate or 7.85 for your largest plan. If you want to do a rule of thumb, you know, if you see a 1% change in the interest rate, your liabilities will move up probably around between 12 and 14%. So if I take my 7.85% down to 6.85, for example, I would see anywhere from a 12 to 14% jump in my liability. Okay? Just a rule of thumb. If I took it to 8.85, I'd see a 12 to 14% decrease. Okay? So keep it in mind that, you know, so let's assume even if you are looking at a 50 basis point change in the rate and you take it down from 785 hypothetically to 735, that's another 6 to 7% potential increase in liabilities. The cost of living, sir, is an assumption that is there. Its variability is there, but probably not as much as I would say the mortality and the interest rate. Does that help answer the question?
Yes, yeah? Yes. It sounds like we have very little control over which direction this goes. Would that be accurate?
Well, yes. In the variables, yes. In the variables, okay. Yes. You're right. Well, there is one. So, in all fairness, the control mechanisms that companies have are the design of the plan. And I know that this is a collectively bargained plan, so that of course maybe that plays into it. But you do have a lever, which is, you know, the design of the plan.
Well, thank you for your presentation. I guess there's good news and bad news here. You know, we have decreased the unfunded liability, yes, but it's still over $1 billion and has the potential to go higher and lower depending on how these mortality rates, interest rates, and COLAs go. So I think some of the conclusions we've made in the past are are still very valid, that this is an unfunded liability that may need to be addressed. Do we have any questions from Ms. Porter?
If I'm understanding you correctly, it sounds as if the unfunded liability is more likely to go up than to go down, and you're talking about interest, assumed interest being on the high side. I'm talking about the biggest plan, and
yes,
of course, I think that sort of drives what happens with the little plans. Assumed interest is on the high side. The mortality tables, I assume new mortality tables will show people living longer. That's usually the way they go. So we may be underestimating mortality and overestimating interest rates. So in all likelihood, that number, the unfunded liability, is going to get bigger and not smaller. Am I correct?
So yes, that would be the expectation, unless, again, the wild card is investment performance, right? Like how the markets are doing, which depends. Right now, they're
right.
Kind
but I'm
of
talking
okay,
about
but
like in the next year or two.
Yeah.
I mean, I
yeah.
suppose
the expectation
the market
is
could crash or something. But
you are right, Ms. Porter. That's the expectation.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Carpenter, you have any questions? Okay. Since we have no additional questions, this meeting will stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you so much.